station platforms, most mornings of almost every day. Doors open with eyes on focus. Ghostbusters and clones are the virtues what you never become. And then you catch your reflection. Trendy young with something to say, right? Like, it's a movie here, but never the villain. And all the trendy young, you're all the trendy young with something to say, right? Like, it's a movie here, but never the villain. Trendy young with something to say, right? Like, life's a movie.
Colchester in Essex, UK. Which is the origin of your name, Pennies? It's kind of strange.
So it started, we kind of formed the band, we're both from Derby originally in the Midlands, so a couple of hundred miles north of Colchester. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Colchester, and then George, who's my brother, moved down a few years later. And we decided to form a band, but we didn't have a name, we were just writing punk songs together. And then we staggered in drunk about 3 a.m, kind of after one of our nights out. And we had a gig in a few days, and we still didn't really have a name to go on the poster. And I went to feed my cat, and on the side of the pet food, it said, "Your pet needs to be fed twice a day." And I kind of just pushed those two words together. So it doesn't have a deeper meaning at all or anything like that. Okay.
I'm curious.
Yeah, that's it. And we didn't expect to be doing it as a job or anything like that. It was literally that name for that gig. And it stuck.
Okay, fine. You all come from Colchester in Essex. How it's like to grow and live there? How about the music scene there?
Yeah, cool. Colchester's interesting because it's on the edge of London. We don't get as many kind of big touring acts coming through Colchester, so everything that's happened there, we've had to build ourselves, really. And we're kind of in a real kind of period where everything's really exciting at the moment, because there's a lots of different bands kind of like coming up. Like, we've got our friends called Ghosts of Men, and a band called Superglue, and a band called Dingus Khan. There's loads of really, really cool bands that are all doing really exciting things, and it's all centered around one bar called Coda in Colchester, which is run by two people in their mid-20s that just got a loan out and went, we're going to open a rock bar. Okay. And ever since that's happened, things have kind of grown and things have kind of exploded. So it's really fun to be on the road at the moment, but we're home for 3 weeks, in the next couple of weeks. And in that time, there's a brand new record shop that's opening in Colchester. We've never had a vinyl record shop before, apart from a big kind of like commercial HMV. So we're going to play a little record shop, and then we're going to play a hometown Coda Colchester as well.
That's it, it's so cool.
And with record shops as well, it's not just a place to go and buy records, it's kind of a hub of the community, and you can meet other kind of people into music. So yeah, so excited about
it. It's an important thing, you know, community and small groups to spread new music and culture. So let's talk about your debut album, Fractured Party Music, out on March 12th, 2021, for XMI Recordings. So let's talk about it a bit.
It was really weird because it was an album that we decided to record in lockdown. It's in January of 2020. We were at an interesting point of the band where January gigs in the UK are always quite poor, and we've done maybe 3 or 4 gigs in January and played to maybe about 60 people all together. We were having a kind of a bit of a tough time, but we had some good gigs that were kind of lined up in the diary, and then COVID hit, and then suddenly we both got furloughed from work as well, so we both kind of we didn't have our jobs for a few months, and also we had all of our gigs kind of disappear. And so we kind of were sitting looking at each other going what do we do now, how do we stay creative, because before we'd only dropped singles, we'd never done a album. We thought, if not now, then when are we going to do it? So we booked some studio time. We hadn't finished writing the album at all, but we booked some studio time 6 weeks in advance, and then just was writing. And then went into the studio with a man called Tom Donovan, and just smashed them out, really. And it was everything. A lot of things were kind of like first take, and I was singing down a broken, battered microphone whilst running around the studio. And so it all felt very kind of organic and really kind of energized. It was really cool. And then it got mixed and mastered by Frank Turner, who we're playing with tonight. And then from there, kind of that's where one thing led to another, and now we're in Milan, which is really cool,
It's the first time here in Italy, so...
It is. I've been to Milan a couple of times before, but only, I've never played in Milan before, but I went once to a festival called Rockin' Idaho.
Yes, Rockin' Idaho.
I was watching Sum 41 on stage, and then lightning hit the stage, and the festival got cancelled, and I remember, it was so weird, because I don't speak Italian, so I was there, and I just saw a load of kind of punk kids and Mohicans and stuff, and someone had come on, said something in Italian, and then the mood kind of shifted, and people were crying, and I was what's going on? And I found the whole festival got cancelled, unfortunately. But it was... the festival leading up to that was brilliant, but also actually it was kind of good because I was dancing some music before and I went over on my ankle, and I'd had a couple of beers and stuff, so I didn't really realise, and then when the festival got cancelled we started walking home and my ankle had swelled up. It was like an apple on the side of my ankle, so I had to go to the first aid tent and stuff, so maybe it was lucky that it got cancelled.
I would like to ask you about the track inside the album. The title actually says punk isn't dead, it's just up for sale. I think this is pretty the summary of the main concepts in punk culture, that is the complete distance from commercial or business logic, So I think this is it.
That song was written because we live kind of on the edge of London, maybe about 45 minutes on the train, and I had to get the train into London once, and I was kind of standing on the platform, and I was seeing all these people kind of with tattoos and stuff like that, that were covering them up in their big business shirts so they could go and work in the banks in London and things like that, which is cool, they can do them, but I found it really interesting that kind of... juxtaposition between people that are going out being super rebellious at the weekends and stuff and living really true, and then having to go work the day job that they're forced to do and stuff like that. So it's kind of those two kind of existences.
Yeah.
And for me, it kind of made me reassess my life a little bit as well when I saw that, because I was working a job I was really proud of. I was working for an autism charity, but I had to work kind of in an office, and I had to wear kind of like a button-up shirt every day and stuff like that. And I felt that the kind of me that I wanted to be and the me that I was were so kind of separated. And yeah, that phrase kind of punk isn't dead, it's just up for sale, kind of encapsulates that kind of like separation of two concepts, that separation of rebellion and self-expression and things, and then having to fit into that box because society tells you. And I feel that I live a lot more just over here now, which is nice.
Yeah, of course. Have you heard about this whole legal war between John Lydon and of Sex Pistols, of course, against his bandmates for using their music? Danny Boyle's TV show about the band.
Yeah, and I think it's hard. I think it's a shame. Like with John Lydon, it's actually when I was at that festival in Milan, one of the bands that I was excited to see was Public Image. Before like Lydon hit the stage, and they were literally loading on. I could see the Public Image logo on the drums and stuff. I was really excited. And I grew up listening to the Sex Pistols, and they were the band that got me into punk music. Usually, you listen to kind of like Green Day, and then Green Day gets you onto the Sex Pistols and stuff. For me, it was the other way around. Like, they were the band for me. And I think John's a really interesting character in the fact that he's got a lot of love inside of him. Like, he's caring for his wife at the moment, his full-time carer for her.
Yeah, sure.
But then he does stuff that's really problematic as well, especially when he was supporting Donald Trump and stuff like that. And you can say, oh, it's just for rebellion, or it's just to kind of wind people up, but that's really dangerous. It's not cool at all. I'm really excited about the series that's coming out.
We were literally watching it yesterday.
I think it's going to be really cool. I think it's based on Steve Jones's autobiography, and so I can see why that would wind John up slightly, because it's only one perspective, and I think Steve Jones is going to have a very particular perspective, especially on how John is and how John was stuff like that. But I also absolutely don't agree that he wasn't reached out to about it, because that's what he said. He said that he wasn't reached out to at all about it. I'm absolutely sure he was. And I think that John, he's a man that likes to be in control, and he's not got control over this at all, so he's going to throw his toys out of the pram. But for me, I'm really looking forward to I'm really looking forward to seeing it. But I think that's a really interesting kind of thing about people not being allowed to either use music, or people not being allowed to kind of enjoy music from other bands as well. I remember David Cameron, who was a Tory our Prime Minister, awful person, but he said that his favourite band was the Smiths, and then Johnny Marr came out and said, you're not allowed to like the Smiths, you're not allowed to like us, because you're not allowed to like our music at all. But going back to John, I can understand why he's angry, but I don't believe for a second that he wasn't approached about it beforehand. And I'm super looking forward to watching it as well, because I love like Trainspotting.
Yeah,
and stuff
of
like
course,
that.
Me too.
I think if anyone's going to do it justice, it's Danny Boyle, definitely.
So, what is punk today? A medalist. It's only a music genre. Is an inspiration from the past, or some fashion rules to follow, or a philosophy, a way of life, or a sense of community?
I think it's an attitude, and I think it's a sense of community. I think punk is so intertwined with rebellion as well, and I see, like, I really like a musician in the UK at the moment called Self Esteem, who does like pop music basically, but she's great because she's so kind of rebellious with what she's doing, and she's so real kind of like feminist and stuff. Or there's a guy called Bob Villain, who does kind of like rappy kind of like heavy music, that's just got to number 18 on the in the charts with a on a record label that he set up like last year, which to me, that's one of the most punk things you can do. I think that's so cool. I think punk's so intertwined with DIY, like doing yourself. One thing we're really proud of is that we, even though we're playing kind of big shows to a lot of people, we're tour managing ourselves, we're driving the van ourselves, we sell our own merch. And I think it's, yeah, it's kind of an attitude, but it's also, it is community as well, and it's acceptance, and it's self-expression, it's creativity. I don't think punk is a kind of, or to me anyway, the way I interpret it, it's not a kind of spraying out a key symbol on the wall and flipping over or something like that. Like, it's about embracing positivity and creativity and love. I think I'm a, I have a very hippie view of punk as well, you know?
Okay, so I have a couple of questions more.
Sure.
How and when did you meet Frank?
Yeah.
And what means for you being the special guest at his show?
So we met in London in 2019? A couple of years before lockdown, we met in London. We were playing Camden Rocks Festival, and he was headlining. Was it Electric Ballroom? So we were playing Dublin Castle, which is kind of a 200 cap venue, just across the way from like the massive Electric Ballroom. And Frank kind of like came in to see the gig. And he enjoyed it, and we swapped email addresses and things, and then we had a couple of emails back and forth, and then things went quiet for kind of a year or something like that. We thought, oh, that was a really cool thing, because we were a really big fan of his, and to have someone like that come and see us was really, really cool. And then in the middle of lockdown, we had an email drop into our inbox, and it just had the title Essex, which is where we're from. It's the county that we're from, and we were like, okay, what's going on here? We opened the email, and it said, hi, it's Frank here. Just to let you know, it's a bit weird, but I'm moving kind of round the corner from you. I'm moving to Essex. I'm going to go live by the sea. I don't really know anyone there. If you want to meet up for a pint after lockdown, let us know. And we were like, one, is this real? Because we were like, I thought we were going to get scammed. He's going to ask our bank details or something. But then, two, it turned out it was. And then we started going back and forth. And it was like, so what have you been doing in lockdown? And we were like, oh, we used the time to record an album and stuff. And then he was like, that's interesting, because I've been using the time to learn how to mix songs and produce songs and stuff. And then that's how he got on board to do the album. And then we just became friends. We kind of like showed him around, like how he played our local venue Coda that I was talking about earlier and stuff. And then we started working together kind of creatively, like recording another album together that's going to be out in September. And like his label that he was signed to like signed us, and then we got a really cool management deal and stuff, and it kind of built from there. And then Frank initially offered us a UK tour, and then offered us a European tour, and then offered us an American tour as well. So we're kind of doing the whole thing, and it's interesting because if you went back 2 years and said you'd be doing this like now, we'd be like, no way, like what? Like, it's really hard to conceptualize, especially like walking onto big stages and seeing everyone. But then everything's kind of, because we did it through lockdown, everything's kind of built in little steps as well. So you kind of, it feels kind of normal now until you take that step back. The weird thing is when you see photos or videos, and then you go, really do that? Like, it's like, it's really bizarre. Like, you're like, did we do that? Wow. But I think if you kind of are in that mindset all the time, you'd just be like just full of nerves and anxiety and stuff like that. Whereas you've just got to take it in your stride that, okay, this is what we're doing now. It's really, really cool. And then just focusing on the next thing. But yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I can't, I always get a bit embarrassed saying, but we were such big fans. And we still are. Like, we still are really big fans. And he's brilliant. And he's kind of inspired us and kind of, like, guided the like our sound and stuff like that, even before we met him. So.
And you and I as well, like, I always go to my side stage, watch a bit of him, and, like, learning just from the band, just learning from professionals.
Yeah.
Mm. It's been amazing, this tour. Like, we all find a different spot in the crowd every night to watch bits, and I feel like we've progressed as a band just from being on this first tour.
Yeah, true.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, 100%.
So last question, guys. Any future plan?
Yes, yeah, so the big news is that album 2 is coming out in September, which we're so excited about. Album 1, I think it's kind of different to album 2, like album 2 is different to album 1 in the fact that album 1, we decided to record an album, we looked at all the songs that we already had and we decided which were going to be the best, and it was almost like we wrote some new songs for it, but a lot of it was like a best of the 4 years before as well. With album 2, we went, right, we are going to write an album, this is what we want to create, and it kind of, we kind of built it up from a concept. It's not a concept album, but we kind of like built it, we knew we were going to be writing for an album, which is really exciting, and it feels like the heavier songs are heavier than we've ever done before, and the quieter songs are quieter than ever done, sing-alongs are more sing-along, it just feels very us, and we ran into the studio with kind of a fresh confidence that we know who we are, and we're super excited for that to come out. So that's the big one, and then this is our final show of the European leg with Frank. So we're going home for a couple of weeks, then we're back out to Germany with a band called Skinny Lister, then out to America with Frank, and we're doing a couple of shows with NoFX, doing punk and traffic shows out there, then UK with Frank, and then headline stuff. Oh, it's gonna be so much fun. So yeah, just keeping super, super busy, just gigging, which we're loving so much, and releasing album 2, which we're
first single, so excited about. First single should be coming out pretty soon, actually. Early June, so that'll be out, that makes, exciting.
Wonderful. So thank you very much, guys, for your time. So we can't wait to see you on stage tonight.
Cool.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you so much.